All right, I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you, and then I want to get into this message in the Peel series. How many of you have been enjoying the summer series, Peel, about the fruit of the Spirit? It's been cool, hasn't it? How many of you have enjoyed the videos during the week? Have you watched the videos on Facebook Live? Those have been really cool. Okay, thank you for joining in with that. Okay, Psalm 145:17 says this: "The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness." All right, and then Proverbs 3:3 says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart." Amen. I think it's pretty important if a scripture is telling us to tie it around our neck and write it in our heart. Amen. I think it's pretty important. So I want you to pay attention today. I'm going to kind of, before I get into the two points I have about kindness, I'm going to just kind of give you an opening. Okay, it's a little opening that I think you need to hear today. Okay, I know I need to hear it again. First of all, the Greek word for kindness is krestosos, and it means benignity, tender concern, uprightness. But here's what you really need to catch in this meaning, this Greek meaning. It's the kindness of heart and actions. The kindness of heart and actions. It's not just the thoughts of kindness. It's not just kindness from within. It's kindness that is displayed outwardly, amen, in our actions, okay? So obviously this week's slice of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, all right? So we've been peeling back the skin to reveal several slices of the fruit of the Spirit already. This has challenged us. It's taken us deeper into the heart of God, all right? And it's really been wonderful and good for us as a body. But I love what Danielle said last week in her message about patience. She said, all of the slices complement each other. Amen? She said, each one of the slice is part of the whole fruit. You can't just choose a few slices here or a few slices there and expect to have the whole thing. It doesn't work that way. You can't just take two or three slices of the fruit here or two or three slices there. If you want to display the fruit of the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit, you have to take the whole thing. Every slice counts. Amen? Amen. Come on, she was talking about patience last week. How many of you know, all of us, we like the other eight slices of fruit, but when it comes to patience, we're like, no thank you. That must be grapefruit, because it's sour. I don't want nothing to do with that, right? And I think the slice that I'm talking about today, kindness, is kind of the same thing. It's really like that. It's like patience in a way. I mean, we like for people to show us kindness, but we sure don't like to reciprocate, especially when people aren't being kind to us. Ooh, yeah, I'll get there in a second. Just hold on. So this got me to thinking. What Danielle said about you have to take the whole fruit. You can't just take a certain slice here or there. It got me to thinking about this week. The Word of God cannot and will not be divided into lots that you can negotiate for. The Word of God cannot and will not be divided into lots that you can negotiate for. In other words, you can't say, I like these scriptures and I'll take these, but I'm not going to take those. I'm going to live by these scriptures because these make me feel good, but I'm not living by those because those rub me the wrong way. Right? Like, for instance, you can't say, I mean, because we got certain scriptures that we love, right? We all love the scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woo, that's a great scripture, isn't it? Fires you up, doesn't it? We like the scripture that says God will throw open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we cannot contain. Isn't that a great scripture? We love that scripture. Woo, I quote that scripture all the time. Right? But here's the thing about it. Why is it that we love that scripture, but we don't want to receive the scripture that precedes that scripture? The scripture that precedes that scripture is, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and test me in this and see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing that you cannot contain. We love the windows being thrown open. We love that part of it, but we don't like necessarily the part of bring all the tithe into the storehouse. But you can't separate the two. And hear me in this. If you can't separate those two, you can't separate any of the scriptures. Every scripture counts. Every word, listen to me, grab this Bible, every word in this book counts. Every word, from cover to cover, every jot Every tittle, as the Bible says, counts. Amen? In fact, Jesus said not one letter, not one, he said jot or tittle will pass away from this word. His word stands forever. Amen? So you can't separate them. You can't separate the words. And so I'm saying all this. How many of you know I say these kind of things to set us up for the next thing that's coming, right? You know me by now, don't you? All right, so here we go. You ready? So since you can't negotiate, you have to accept the whole word or nothing at all. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 12:30, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. What do you think about that scripture? That's a tough one, isn't it? Let me read it to you in the Passion Translation. It's worded this way. It says, so join with me, for if you are not on my side, you are against me. And if you refuse to help me gather the spoils, you are making things worse. Wow. When I read that scripture, I'm thinking about the things that the Word of God instructs me to do that I don't do. I don't know about you, but that's what I think about. When Jesus says, if you're not working with me, then you're working against me. If you're not helping me collect the spoils, then you're making things worse. I think about the scriptures and the Word of God that instructs me to do certain things, to follow him in certain ways, and I don't always do that. I don't know about you. Anybody else in here have trouble sometimes? No, just three people? Wow, you guys are amazing. I love you. That's why I hang around you. So awesome. So listen to me for a moment. There are many believers who, for the most part, unintentionally work against the kingdom of God. They don't understand that their words and actions are actually working against God's kingdom and against his word. That sometimes we don't understand the implications of our actions, do we? We just act, right? In fact, sometimes it just comes out. It's just who we are. It's just a part of us, right? But I want you to remember something. Actions just don't happen. They don't just happen on their own. Actions are actually the result of a believed thought. Actions are the result of a believed thought. Somebody needs to write that down. Because some people think that actions just happen, but they don't just happen. And actions aren't just a thought, they're a believed thought. They're a result of a believed thought. You can have a lot of thoughts in your head, but you can reject those thoughts. Amen? But once you believe a thought, then that thought will play out in your actions. Right? A great example of this is a thought that we've had, and then it's played out in our words and our actions. We've actually said this before. In fact, I would venture to say there's probably not one person in this place that has not said this at one time or another, and this is the lie that we've said before. I'm only human. I can't be perfect. How many of you said that before? Be honest. Be honest. I'm only human. I can't be perfect. Right? You've made a mistake or something, right? Or you kept making a mistake. And you're like, I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. Anybody ever say that? Nobody's perfect. How many of you know that's a lie? It is. That's a lie from the enemy. That is not what the Word of God said. This Bible says differently. This Word says differently. Okay? The truth is that you're not only human. The truth is that you are perfect. Wow. You kind of look like the first service, like a deer in headlights. What? What kind of nonsense is this? Well, you know I'm not just going to say something like that without giving you scripture, right? So here you go. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Say new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right. Colossians 3:10 and 11 says, put on your new nature. Okay, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. You see that? Not just know your Creator, but become like Him. Okay, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So I'm going to ask you before we move on, how many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Come on, loud and proud. Get it up there. Woo, woo. Yep. All right. Looks like most everybody in this place. If you haven't, I'm going to give you an opportunity today. But if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, then you are a new creation, right? And as a new creation, you are to know your Father and be like him. And then Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:48. Like he just laid it out there for us. Here's what it says: but you are to be, say it with me, perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Does that say perfect? Sure does. Perfect. I've said this to you before. Why would Jesus say this to us? Why would he tell us to be perfect if it weren't possible to be perfect? And there are some people that have preached on this scripture before, and many like this, that say, well, this perfection is not for this life, it's for the life to come. But that's not true. That is a lie. And I'll show you scripture that proves it to us. But Jesus wasn't saying you're to be perfect once you get to heaven. Well, everybody's going to be perfect when they get in heaven, right? He wasn't saying you're to be perfect once you get to heaven. He's saying you're to be perfect right now. Well, how is that possible? How can we be perfect? Well, Galatians 3:3 says this. It says, how foolish can you be? I told the first service to turn to somebody and ask them that question, but that didn't go over real well. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Wow. Wow. This scripture is not saying, why are you trying to be perfect? That's not what it's saying. Let's read it the right way. It's not saying, quit trying to be perfect. It will never happen. Nobody's perfect. This scripture is saying, why are you trying to become perfect in your own human effort? Because you've already been made perfect by the power of the Spirit. Philippians 4:13, we know this scripture, I just quoted it. I can do how many things through Christ who strengthens me? All. Does that include being perfect? Yes. Say yes. That's all. All. Perfect's included in all, right? All covers it all. In fact, I said this to you before, I looked up the Greek word for all. You know what it means? All. Right. All. So the truth is, if you are in Christ, you have already been made perfect. When God looks at you, he sees perfection. Amen. Come on. No, don't be sorry. Shout it out, sis. Come on. When he looks at you, he sees perfection. This is exciting. Lori, thank you for shouting it out. Because listen, a lot of people, I wish we'd do that more often. When God drops that spirit bomb on us, right? That revelation that just opens up our heart and mind. I wish we should just stand up and go, that's right! Because listen, there's something about the confession of the mouth, right? That causes that word to take root and take hold in our hearts. Come on. Come on. Because I guarantee you, in fact, let me just have you do this. I want you to say this. Say, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. Say it again. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. Okay, now I guarantee you there are people in here that said that, but you had no conviction. Like you even felt weird saying it. Because all you can think about are all the mistakes you made already today. On the way to church, you might have made a few mistakes. You might have argued a little bit with somebody. You might have said an unkind word to somebody, maybe not in the car, but somebody outside the car. Maybe you didn't say an unkind word, but you sure had some unkind thoughts, right? And all you can think about is the mistakes that you've made when you say, I'm perfect. And that alone should be the red flag that tells us we have the wrong mindset. Come on, y'all. We're not thinking with the mind of Christ. We're still thinking in that human carnal mindset. Because you're looking at, well, the mistakes I made, but don't you see that you can't become perfect in your own human effort? Jesus already did it for you. He provided it all. He made you perfect when he shed his spotless blood for you. The moment you received that is the moment you stepped into perfection. Well, I'm telling you, I'm enjoying this right now. This is good. If you grab hold of this, it'll set you free. Because in that mindset of continually trying to strive for perfection in your own humanness, what that sets you up for is constantly striving to measure up to God's glory, to his blessings in your life. You're constantly like trying to strive to measure up to what he's called you to do. You're like, oh, if I could only do this, if I could only be better at this, if I could only stop making mistakes, if I could only do this, then maybe God would accept me and maybe I'd step in to my destiny that he has planned for me. But see, what you need to understand is that your destiny has already been solidified, has already been planned, has already been processed. It's already in place in the future. God lives outside of time. We live confined in time. God's not confined by time. See, right now, it is 12:38. Ooh, I got to hurry up. It's 12:38 p.m. on... what's the date? July 8th? July 8th, right? To God, that has already happened. Oh, come on, you're not hearing me. He's already in the future. He already has said, put his stamp of approval and said, this is your destiny. These are the plans. I don't just have plans for you. God's saying, I already made those plans. They're already there. They're established in the future. All you have to do is step in to the destiny that I've already created for you. You don't have to wait for it to open up for you. All you have to do is take that step of faith and step out into that destiny. But you can't do that if you're continually stuck in this human carnal mindset. And part of that lie that keeps us there is that we think we have to measure up. We think we have to clean up our act. I can't tell you as a pastor how disappointing it is to me to hear people come to church and say, I want to get saved. I want to give my heart to the Lord, but I got to get myself cleaned up first. I got to get some of these. You don't know how bad I am. No, I don't, but God does. And he already made a plan to set you free. He already provided the atonement, the perfect sacrifice. It's already been done. All you have to do is step into it. Salvation isn't something of the future. It's something that was done in the past, and you just got to step into it. Oh, man, that was good right there. Somebody write that one down. See, let me just show you something here. Matthew 19:21. I haven't gotten to kindness yet. I told you I had to open up, right? It's just my opening. Matthew 19:21. It'll be quick. You're sitting there going, wow, 12:40. Matthew 19:21, Jesus told him, who did he tell? He told the rich young man, okay, that came to Jesus and said, you know, what must I do, okay, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said this, if you want to be perfect, say that with me, if you want to be perfect, then he said, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. Now, I want you to see something here, because most of the time, and I've even heard this message preached, this scripture preached, most of the time, people use this scripture to say, see, we shouldn't have possessions, we shouldn't have money, we shouldn't have those things. See, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, then sell all those things and give them to the poor. If you want to be perfect, then you need to sell all your possession, give the money to the poor, and that will make you perfect. Well, if selling your money and possessions and giving that to the poor could make you perfect, then we didn't need Jesus. Right? Because we can all do that. But that's not what Jesus is saying here at all. Let me just make it simple. Let me just compact this down a little bit, take some words out and show you what Jesus was saying. He was saying this, if you want to be perfect, follow me. Look at the scripture again. Go back to 19:21, okay? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, comma, so let's just take that out, and the last comma, follow me. If you want to be perfect, follow me. But here's what he was telling. See, he's having a conversation with the man, and he knew all about him, and he knew what needed to happen in his life, okay? And so he said to him, he said, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. Why did he tell this particular man this? Because you know Jesus didn't tell everybody this. Why did he tell this particular man? Because he knew that his possessions were very important to him. And if he didn't get those possessions out, then his heart would not fully be Jesus. His heart would not fully follow Jesus. He's like, listen, if you want to be perfect, follow me. So let me put it to you this way. I could say it, he could have said it to him like this. Listen, if you want to be perfect, follow me. But before you follow me, go sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor, because that's going to hold you back from fully following me. Do you get it? Yeah. See, Jesus was saying, this is it. If you want to be perfect, follow me. That's the ticket right there. That's all it takes. Hebrews 10:14 says this. It says, for by that one offering, what offering? Jesus giving his life on the cross, right? By that one offering, he forever made, say it with me, perfect those who are being made holy. He forever made you perfect, completely, by that one offering. Because he died on the cross, we have been made perfect. Amen? So somebody say, now say it again, I am perfect. I am perfect. Amen. Yes! I am perfect. I am perfect. And I'm going to tell you something, that takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Whew! Can I just say this to you, though? But because you have been made perfect, because you are perfect, because when God looks at you, he sees perfection, that does not give us an open door, permission to go and live however we want to live. Remember what Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, follow me. You got to keep following Jesus, right? You got to stay on that path. As you follow Jesus, he just keeps moving you from glory to glory. He just keeps moving you from your destiny to your destiny, from plan to plan, right? So let me get into this fruit of the Spirit, the slice, kindness, okay? Because if we understand all this, if we get all this, and we'll deal with that in our mindset, then displaying the whole fruit of the Spirit will not only become possible but probable, okay? We have to understand that. So kindness, number one, kindness is the characteristic that led God to provide salvation for us. It's in God's kindness that he sent Jesus to die for us. Amen? Ephesians 1:6 says, so we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured onto us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. It's in God's kindness that he sent Jesus to die for us. And Titus 3:4 says, but God, when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. How did God display his kindness to us? How did the kindness of God appear to us? Through the life of Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus. And he said, I want to shower my kindness on you. So this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to send my son. Man, that's the greatest, most complete picture of kindness that we'll ever know, isn't it? God saw a whole lot of hurt and trouble and turmoil and pain and suffering here on this earth. And he sent his son to our rescue. Jesus came to our rescue, not because we deserved it, but because of his kindness. Amen. I mean, we didn't deserve it, right? No one deserves his kindness. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Here's the thing about it. There are people that lived their entire lives and refused to receive the kindness of God, but yet he still sent it for them. He still gave it to them. You've heard this said many times before. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was thinking of all humanity. Those who would receive him and receive his kindness and those who reject it. He still died for them. He still gave his kindness for them. Amen? God knew what we needed before we even asked it. That's kindness. Kindness is the ability to recognize the needs of others and take steps to meet those needs. That's what kindness is. It's the kindness of God that leads God to give us green pastures and quiet waters and the restoration of our souls when we're weary. It's God's kindness that makes him want to gather us under his wings to protect us and keep us close to him. God expressed his kindness when he provided for Elijah and the widow in Zarephath during the drought. And he also showed more kindness when he raised her dead son up to life again. When Sarah exiled Hagar and Ishmael, God gave the kindness, the outcast, he gave them kindness in the form of water and hope. On multiple occasions, kindness induced Jesus to stop what he was doing and turn and give kindness to those in need. You remember the time when there was a funeral procession going by, recorded in the Word of God, and Jesus is there with his disciples, and he's on a mission. He's going somewhere, and he's on a journey, and that funeral procession is coming by, and he hears the mother wailing and weeping and mourning and pain and grief, and Jesus stops what he's doing. And he turns and goes to this mother, and he tells her, "Don't worry, don't be discouraged." And he reaches out and touches her son, and he's raised to life again. It was his kindness that drove him to turn from his direction that he was going in and go to this mother and raise her son up again. Amen? So when we exhibit kindness, the kindness of God, we're tender, we're benevolent, and we're useful to others. Every action, every word that we speak will have the flavor of grace in it. But here's the point of impact, okay? You ready for this? This is why I talked about the perfection at the beginning. This is why I wanted to break that mindset in us today, once and for all. Because it's hard enough to be kind to those that we love, isn't it? Is there anybody in this place today that you have spoken an unkind word to someone you loved before? Anybody besides me? Yeah. You love them, but you still spoke an unkind word to them, right? It's hard enough to show kindness to someone you love, but it is impossible to show kindness to people who do not receive kindness. It's impossible to show kindness in our own human effort to someone who is hateful to you. Oh, you might be able to start out down that road in your human effort. I've done it before. How many of you started out in your own human effort trying to show kindness to someone and then to realize they were just going to be hateful to you and your kindness just went, right? You know that day you're just like, I'm going to be kind to people. I'm just going to be kind. I'm going to show them kind. I don't care what they do. I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to keep smiling. My smile is never going to leave this face today. And you just start out your day like that, and you go to the store, and you're like, hey, how are you? How's it going today? And they're like, shut up, you're stupid. And you're like, I know, it's okay. You know, and inside you're thinking, you're not going to kill my kindness. And they're just hateful to you. They're just mean to you, right? And as you're talking, your smile just goes. And before you know it, you're reacting based on their actions. Your kindness also just all of a sudden turns sour. And by the end of the conversation, you've never done this before, by the end of the conversation, you're being just as hateful as they are. You know what I'm saying? And then you get in your car, and all the way home, you're thinking of things you should have said to them to put them in their place. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's funny because you've done it before. You know, all the way home, oh, if I'd have just said this, I'm going to turn around and go tell them that. You just want to, Well, the reason that happens is because we're trying to do this in our own human effort. Because we're still stuck in that orphan mentality, that poverty mindset. And that mindset will kill any attempt we try to make on the Word of God. Like if we try to step out into this Word of God in our own effort and our own strength, that poverty mindset squashes it. Before you know it, we're like, wow, that was fruitless. That didn't work, right? That's why we must rely on the power of God within us. That's why we must rely on the power that has made us perfect. If we can grab hold of that, then it is not only possible, but it's probable to show kindness to others, no matter how they treat you. Okay, number two is this: kindness will reward you. I'm going to close with this, all right? Proverbs 11:17 says, "Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you." Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Come on, say it with me. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. One more time. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. We need to grab hold of this. There is a world out there. Shoot, there's a world in here that needs to experience the kindness of God, that needs to know the kindness of God. Right? If it was the kindness of God, because that's his characteristic, if it was his kindness that drove him to send Jesus, his only son, to be tortured and crucified for us, then how important do you think it is for us to show kindness to the world out there? Pretty important, isn't it? This is not an option, folks. This is not one of the slices you can take out of the fruit of the Spirit and go, I don't want to show that one today. I don't want to display that one today. You either receive the whole fruit or nothing at all. You can't just go through life saying, and here's the thing, again, back to this perfect, convincing us that we have been made perfect through Christ, crushing that orphan mentality and that spirit, that mindset usually becomes a scapegoat for our actions, for our wrong actions, right? That moment that we drive away from that person that we had a confrontation with, and instead of showing kindness, we were cruel to them, we said cruel things to them, we justify it by saying, well, they started it. And then we go further to say, well, I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. I make mistakes. Right? Like, as if we're expecting Jesus to go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, Daquan. You're only human. You're not perfect. I mean, think about what that's saying to Jesus. He gave every drop of his blood so that you can be perfect. Ooh. He died for perfection. He died for perfection. That's what he died for. So that we can be perfect in him. And I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we can't use the lie from the enemy, well, I'm only human, nobody's perfect. That's a lie. Instead, what Jesus would rather us do is say, Father, I repent for that mistake. I'm sorry for that mistake. I should have shown kindness and I didn't. I was cruel to them. Please forgive me for that. You know what he's saying? Quan, man, I love you and I love your heart. You get it. You get it. I don't hold those mistakes over your head. I don't. I'm there with you in the midst of them. And that attitude, that heart toward Jesus, following him with everything that we have, that is what he's looking for. That is perfection. That's how we can be perfect even though we make mistakes. Are you hearing this today? But if we're going to sit there and go, everybody makes mistakes and nobody's perfect and I'm only human, and then we're just trapped in this orphan mindset. We're just trapped in the lies of the enemy and we'll never accomplish what Jesus called us to accomplish. I'm going to tell you something. It's the truth. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Right? For freedom. not for bondage, not for slavery, not to be trapped in an orphan mindset. That's what the enemy wants. He knows that your future is already established. He knows that your destiny is already out there. He wants to destroy it. And the only way he can destroy it is to get you to believe his lies. But you are free, and you are perfect, and you are complete in Christ. Amen? So let me give you two stories. Two stories that show perfectly Proverbs 11:17. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Let me first show you cruelty. This is an article, okay, that I read online. It says, a high-powered New York attorney went viral recently, but for all the wrong reasons. Handheld cell phone video of Aaron Schlossberg spread like wildfire on Facebook after an encounter he had with a cashier at a Fresh Kitchen eatery in Manhattan. Schlossberg was angry at the cashier for speaking to co-workers and other restaurant patrons in Spanish. In the footage, Schlossberg can be seen loudly and angrily berating several employees who appear to be of Hispanic descent, implying that they are undocumented workers receiving public assistance, which he resents contributing toward as a taxpayer. Toward the video's end, he threatens them with deportation by calling ICE. Schlossberg was recorded by a fellow patron in the store who felt his behavior was cruel and uncalled for. And within hours, he had been identified online and his business pages on Yelp and other review sites had been deluged with negative reviews. To make things worse, savvy internet sleuths pointed out an important tidbit from his own business website. It advertises consultations in Hebrew, French, Chinese, and yes, Spanish. So basically, in a matter of hours, this man's business was destroyed because of his cruelty. Kindness will reward you, but cruelty will destroy you. Kim and I were talking about this the other day. We were driving in the car, and we were talking about a business here in town that shut down because word had gotten out that the business owner was less than honest, let's say, okay? Not a person of integrity, ripping people off, and was not kind to them in the process. And we were talking about it, and I said, you know, one of us said, you know, we live in a day and age where it spreads like wildfire. Like, word spreads, amen? Word of mouth gets out. Because of Facebook and social media, word gets out quick. That's why this man's business was destroyed in a matter of hours. Because word got out there. That video got out there on Facebook, and people in that area said, I will no longer support that man. I will no longer patron him. You know, and they put those reviews out there. Your cruelty will destroy you. But you have to also understand that your kindness will reward you. If you're kind, you will see the rewards of God in your life. Matthew 12:33 says this. It says, you must determine if a tree is good or rotten. You can recognize good trees by their delicious fruit. But if you find rotten fruit, you can be certain that the tree is rotten. Okay, now look at this next line. The fruit defines the tree. Here's the thing. People aren't going around looking at your roots. They're not looking at the bark. They're not looking at the leaves. You know what they're looking for? The fruit. They're looking for the fruit. Is the fruit good? No, nobody picks an apple from a tree, and the apple is red, and it's ripe, and they bite into it, and it's delicious, and it's juicy, and it's sweet. Nobody does that and then goes, oh, that's a bad tree. Right? When you get good fruit, good tree. Good fruit, good tree. When people see your kindness, they're attracted to you. Amen. And they're not attracted to you because of you. They're attracted to you because of Christ in you. Amen? They see the perfection that God sees when he looks at you. Oh, come on, y'all. Can I just say it like this? If we would just display all 9 slices of the fruit of the Spirit every day, every chance we get in our lives, how many of you think people will be drawn to you? How many of you think that? They just come to you, right? They would see perfection in their eyes and be like, man, that's perfect to me. I want to be just like Tyrone. Because when I look at Tyrone, it's just perfect. It's perfection. And it's not because of your bark, and it's not because of your leaves, and it's not because of your branches. It's because of your fruit. The fruit defines the tree. So let me give you one more story. This article says this. This is the headline for this article, and I'll close with this. It says, neighbor sues girls over act of kindness. That's what it says. Neighbor sues girls over act of kindness. It's back a few years ago. It says, Taylor Ostergaard and Lindsay Zaletti wanted to bless their neighbors. On July 31st, 2004, the two teenage girls decided to bake cookies for their neighbors rather than to attend a school dance. After baking the cookies, the girls set out late that evening, and they left the fresh baked goods only at houses that had the lights on. It was 10:30 p.m. when they pounded on the door of one of the homes. The 49-year-old woman inside did not answer the door, but she did experience an anxiety attack over the late-night visit. After a trip to the emergency room the next day, the woman decided to sue the girls, and she won. Yes, folks, this is the day and age we live in, all right? The judge awarded the plaintiff $900 to cover the emergency room visit. The woman said she wanted the girls to learn a lesson because they should not have been out that late at night running from door to door. Something bad could have happened to them, she said. After the story was published in the Denver Post, hundreds of readers were outraged that the girls were sued for dropping off a plate of cookies and a paper heart for the neighbors. Thousands of dollars began to pour in to help the girls pay their fine. The story then was reported on national news programs, and the girls appeared on the Saturday edition of Good Morning America. As a result of the publicity, a fund had been set up and all of the girls' college expenses have been paid. Isn't that awesome? Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Listen, God wants us to be kind. Amen? He wants us to be kind to those who are kind to us, and he wants us to be kind to those who are not. It doesn't matter how people treat us. It doesn't matter what their reaction is to our kindness. We should show them kindness, amen? No matter what. So I'm going to ask you a question today, and I just want you to stand as you're saying yes to this question. How many of you need to get better at this kindness thing? How many of you need to display that fruit a little bit better in your life? Would you stand? Amen. I believe this. I believe that every one of us here, because we've been made perfect in Christ, there's unlimited power inside of us to do these things. Amen? But we can't do these things if we stay trapped in that orphan mindset. We have to break free from that. We have to remind ourselves every day, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am perfect. Can you say that again? I am perfect. I am. Now, even just now, after this message, some of you are like, man, I still have trouble saying that. Well, listen, if it makes you feel better, you can say after that, because Christ lives in me. All right? You can say that. But you don't have to say that. Jesus knows what you mean. Right? I am perfect because he made me perfect. And so you have the power, I have the power to be kind to people, no matter how they treat us, right? No matter how they treat us. So let's just pray together. Put your hand over your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you complete control. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I thank you, Jesus, that I no longer have to live with that orphan mentality. I no longer have to live with that carnal mindset. I thank you, Jesus, that I am set free. I thank you that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And now I live with the mind of Christ. Father, I ask that you help every one of us in this place live with the mind of Christ. Help us to follow you, Jesus. That is perfection, just to follow you. In our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, everything, Father, help us to follow you so that we will be kind to this world out there that desperately needs your kindness. May we be the ones, Jesus. May we be the ones to radically transform this world for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just stand and worship as they sing this song?
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one for whom you loved and gave yourself for humanity. Increase my to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you, even with just a smile. Oh, how you love us, from the homeless to the famous and in between. You formed us and you made us carefully, 'cause in the end, we're all your children. So help me to love. So help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even just a smile, they would see the Father's love. Even in just a smile, they would see the Father's love.
So, if you are a guest with us today, reminder to take the Connect card to Starting Point so that we can give you a gift. If you made a decision in your life today and you would like some guidance, Starting Point is a good place. We'll get you started on your journey with Jesus, okay? All right, so we are going to do a declaration, per usual, because why? Words are powerful, that's why. Here we go. I declare the fruit of Holy Spirit is growing in me, and I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in love God, show some kindness to people, and change your world.